Hey there, this is Josh from Stuff You Should Know with a message that could change your life. The Stuff You Should Know Think Spring podcast playlist is available now. Whether spring has sprung in your neck of the woods yet or not, the Stuff You Should Know Think Spring playlist will make you want to get your overalls on, get outside, and get your hands in the dirt. You can get the Stuff You Should Know Think Spring playlist on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go!
iHeartRadio Music Awards are coming back Thursday, March 26th, live on Fox.
Watch as we honor the biggest stars from all genres of music that you loved listening to all year long on your favorite iHeartRadio station and the iHeartRadio app.
Hosted by Ludacris.
Icon Award recipient John Mellencamp. Innovator Award recipient
Miley Cyrus.
With performances by Alex Warren, Kehlani,
Lainey Wilson,
Ludacris,
Ray,
TLC,
Salt-N-Pepa,
and En Vogue. Taylor Swift makes her first award show appearance this year. Also, gold medal Olympian Alyssa Liu, Neo, Nicole Scherzinger, Nikki Glaser, Somber, Weezer, and more.
Watch live on Fox Thursday, March 26th at 8, 7 Central.
And listen on iHeartRadio stations across America and the free iHeart app.
On the night of May 22nd, 2005, a young man named Salvador Martinez was pushed to the ground in an alleyway near Dudley Grange Park in Camden, New Jersey. A few witnesses claim to have seen two assailants rifling through his pockets before one of them fatally shot Salvador. And police took a statement from one of the witnesses named Carol Laughlin, who would eventually name 24-year-old Lance Alford.
Carol Laughlin, when she first got asked about the situation, she said, yeah, I did see the guy's face, but he's not from around the area. I'm from around the area. And then she got locked up for her own personal charges. You know what I mean? They go see her again. And somehow they got my name down in the picture. I'm like, how to get my name in my picture? I don't know.
And perhaps a more salient question is not how, but whom. The person leading this investigation for the Camden County Prosecutor's Office was Sergeant Martin Devlin, who we've seen in multiple wrongful conviction cases, practicing a similar pattern. Single photo identifications shown to alleged witnesses with something to gain.
The three eyewitnesses who did testify against Lance at the trial were shown a single photo of Lance rather than a photo array. And when you're shown a single photo, that's a very suggestive form of identification. The police are telling you this is who we think committed the crime.
By the time Lance was taken to trial, Carol Laughlin's story had changed to something that was provably false.
Her statement about how she seen a guy get shot while he was standing up don't even match up with the forensic evidence in the case. And they still let this lady testify and lie on me. Come on, man. Y'all playing games. Y'all playing with my life. You know what I mean? I'm Lance Lamar Alford. I'm innocent of the crime. I was locked up July 6, 2005, and I've never got out ever since.
From Lava for Good podcast, this is Wrongful Conviction with Maggie Freeling. Today, Lance Alford. Camden, New Jersey is a small city just over the Delaware River from Philadelphia, where an industrial boom in the late 19th century was followed by a bust in the mid to late 20th century, when companies left town for cheaper labor, leaving the economy and quality of life to crumble.
I was born in Camden in 1980, and you know, my mother, she was on her own, working two jobs, trying to provide for her three kids. She finally decided to try to move out of Camden into Cherry Hill in 1986, 87.
Cherry Hill is an affluent, mostly white suburb, a recipient of what was known as white flight during the Great Migration of the Jim Crow era, when many African Americans ventured north for potentially kinder communities as opposed to the south, only to see large swaths of white folks head to the suburbs from the cities, bringing their tax base and school funding with them.
I loved it out there. You know what I mean? School was out there good at everything. Moved out there for a while and we were doing good out there. But my dad got murdered, in 1988 in Camden?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, when I was 8 years old, my mom got a call and she was telling me, like, yo, that'll call your dad got shot. And all I remember is my mother, like, taking all three of her kids to the hospital, Cooper Hospital in Camden. And it's like, sorry to tell you that your kid's father didn't make it, you know what I mean? And I'm like, wow, I was like 7, 8 years old. My father passed away. I'm like, well, I don't know. I didn't know how to feel. I was young. It hit me hard, but I didn't know how to feel.
In the aftermath of that loss, Lance's mother kept the kids in Cherry Hill for as long as she could.
In seventh grade, I moved back to Camden. I say 92, 93. My mom was like, it's too hard out here. Pay the bills. She moved back to Camden. So we back out there in a hard place to grow up. So we just trying to make ends meet and survive the best way we could. I felt like I had to fill a void and try to help my mother take care of us. Me doing that, I was drawn into like the environment around me, you know what I mean? Yeah, I caught up in selling drugs and everything. But I'm not the type of dude that, I wasn't no type of like hard gangster dude. And I'm like, I was just trying to make money, you know what I mean?
It wasn't long before Lance was pinched for possession, putting him on the radar of the local authorities. And by spring 2005, Lance was 24 years old. And it appeared that local police were actively trying to pin something more serious on him.
Before I got locked up, I remember I was sitting on a bus stop. It's at nighttime. Like 4 or 5 cop cars pulled over on me. They said, the prosecutor want to speak to you. I'm like, for what? What you mean? I don't know what you're talking about. They put me in the car, took me down to the station. And they put me in a little room behind the window. And they get these people to come in there and they like try to identify me, something like that. I'm like, what are they doing? Like, and all I heard was remember people saying, no, that's not the guy, it's not the guy. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? A month after that, I got locked up for this.
So Lance was dragged into a single person lineup for either this or something else entirely. We're not sure. But what we do know is that on the night of May 22nd, 2005, on a very narrow street with even narrower alleyways that run between some of its row houses, a young man named Salvador Martinez was fatally shot in one of those alleyways that lead out to the north side of Dudley Grange Park, a park that was known for folks hanging out, drinking, and drug use. And so there were a number of witnesses in the area, including two women named Lillian Davis and Carol Laughlin, as well as a man named Thea Kim. But that night, no one could identify the assailants.
The eyewitnesses of the crime observed two men wearing hoodies shoot this man, Salvador Martinez, and it was super dark. This was late at night, and all of the eyewitnesses testified to being very far away from the crime. Didn't get a super good look, but yeah, just the two guys, one short and one tall, running away from the scene. But neither of those heights corresponded to Lance, who is much taller than even the tall guy.
That was Julia Kingston, one of the students with the Princeton Making an Exoneree program. She and a fellow student named Nelson Rogers, among a few others, reinvestigated the case.
There were several really compelling eyewitnesses who were not interviewed or didn't testify in his trial. And I think they were blatantly overlooked during the investigation process.
Yeah, two of the witnesses who we spoke with, Wanda Lane and Keith Pennington, signed affidavits swearing to their presence on the scene and their confidence that it was not Lance who committed the crime.
And so the question becomes, what changed for other witnesses and why Lance?
So Lance was involved in dealing drugs in Camden at the time, and so he was already on the police's radar. And also we have reason to believe that Lance, he got in an altercation with someone who then was like out to get him.
He was in an altercation with someone whose father, I think, then said, I'm like going to go get Lance Alford. And then I believe went to the police and said it was Lance Alford who shot Salvador Martinez. That's how he gets wrapped up in the whole situation.
At that point, it appears that the detectives revisited some of the witnesses to show them a single photo. It was of Lance.
That's a very suggestive form of identification. Normally, a witness is shown an array of photos, and the idea there is just to not suggest to them this is who the police think committed the crime, to make it as fair as possible. The detectives in our case, Detective Greer and Falco, as we've elucidated, had really shoddy investigation techniques, interrogation techniques, but the whole thing was overseen by Sergeant Marty Devlin, who has since been put on trial for perjury and so is known as a pretty dirty cop.
Our listeners may remember Sergeant Martin Devlin from other cases we've covered. Tony Wright, Jimmy Dennis, Walter Ograd, Troy Coleman, Pedro Reynoso, all while Devlin was in Philly. And while he retired, Devlin went to work as an investigator for the Camden County Prosecutor's Office.
He was a supervisor in my case. I see the pattern. So the things he was doing in Philadelphia, he was just threatening people to say what he wanted them to say, coercing people, you know what I mean? The tactic he was using was real aggressive. This guy was doing a lot of damage in Camden and in Philadelphia.
Lance's attorney, Justin Bonus, has discovered a cohort of men out of Camden, some of whom have come to know each other while in prison, after it appears that Martin Devlin helped put them there with the same pattern of single photo identifications made by coerced or incentivized eyewitnesses. We'll link to our coverage of Manfred Younger's case, another that Justin brought to us before participating in the Making an Exoneree program with Lance.
As Justin said in our documentary, when you're shown a single photo, the police are telling you, this is who we think committed the crime.
And speaking with Justin, you know, we learned about single photo identification and how police get around that by claiming that the witnesses know the person. And so the police essentially claim that these strangers know Lance from wherever, even though there's testimony and affidavits that come kind of after the fact that show they don't know him at all, which means that this single photo procedure really is not valid.
And it seems like these investigators were well aware of how unreliable the identifications were, especially when speaking with witnesses Lillian Davis and Carol Laughlin.
Carol Laughlin, when she first got asked about the situation, she said, yeah, I did see the guy's face, but he's not from around the area. I'm from around the area. Then she get locked up for her own personal charges. Then she go see her again. Is it this guy? Now she want to get out of jail. She want to say, yeah, come on, man, really?
But Lillian Davis had no reason to cooperate or be pliable. She refused to make the ID, even though she stood right next to Carol that night. Then Devlin, Greer, and Falco went to Tia Kim, who was facing charges while on probation as a sex offender. And it seems in order to avoid being thrown back in prison, Tia Kim was now ready to cooperate as well, saying that the two assailants he'd seen running out of the alley had passed him in the park. And now he claimed that he'd seen Lance's face. And later, Kim claimed that he'd seen the other guy's face too. Someone he remembered from middle school, Zaire McDaniels.
Zaire is my cousin. That's my first cousin. His mother and my mother are sisters. This pop-up, they lied to me about what I was there for at the station, saying I was there for warrants. You know what I mean? Traffic. I'm like, what? When they locked me up for, that's when the cops said, you know what you're here for? It's like, you're here for a murder. I'm like, a murder? So I knew the dude got shot because I'm just from the area. But when they put it on me, I'm like, what the hell y'all talking about?
Lance was at home with his girlfriend Aisha at the time. His mother, Gloria, was also at home at the time with the two of them. And this was over 20 years ago, and Aisha and Lance are no longer involved. She has gone on to have a family and children with someone else, and to this day still swears that she was with Lance that night and he could not have committed the crime.
I try to explain to him my side of the story, but they kind of like, no, we know what you know. We know you did it. I'm like, oh, I'm done talking to y'all because y'all don't want to hear me out. They didn't want to hear me out. So, you know what I mean? I was locked up July 6, 2005, and I never got out ever since.
Hey there, this is Josh from Stuff You Should Know with a message that could change your life. The Stuff You Should Know Think Spring podcast playlist is available now. Whether spring has sprung in your neck of the woods yet or not, the Stuff You Should Know Think Spring playlist will make you want to get your overalls on, get outside, and get your hands in the dirt. You can get the Stuff You Should Know Think Spring playlist on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go! iHeartRadio Music Awards are coming back Thursday, March 26th, live on Fox.
Watch as we honor the biggest stars from all genres of music that you loved listening to all year long on your favorite iHeartRadio station and the iHeartRadio app.
Hosted by Ludacris.
Icon Award recipient John Mellencamp. Innovator Award recipient
Miley Cyrus.
With performances by Alex Warren, Kehlani,
Lainey Wilson,
Ludacris,
Ray,
TLC,
Salt-N-Pepa,
and En Vogue. Taylor Swift makes her first award show appearance this year. Also, gold medal Olympian Alyssa Liu, Neo, Nicole Scherzinger, Nikki Glaser, Somber, Weezer, and more.
Watch live on Fox Thursday, March 26th at 8, 7 Central.
And listen on iHeartRadio stations across America and the free iHeart app.
Now, that's the thing. They try to have me like I was this big time selling drugs and all that. I didn't even have money for bail. Like, come on, man. That bail was 350 cash. You know what I mean? I didn't even have money for that.
While Lance and Zaire were in pretrial detention, another alleged witness named Jacob Eller came forward.
This guy came to them 5 months after the murders, told his lawyer to call the prosecutor off. I need help getting out of jail. He's telling them the dude sold drugs for me, which is a lie. I don't even know this guy like that.
Eller, who was seeking leniency in his own charges, claimed that he'd overheard a discussion about the victim owing Lance money and claimed that he saw Lance get into his car with a gun. But on the eve of trial, it's believed that Eller told investigators he had lied and did not want to testify, which is then believed to have had prompted a recorded statement on February 21st, 2007, where Eller said that he only wanted to avoid testifying out of fear of reprisal from the defendants. Strange that they'd get him on the record about that, right? Anyway.
My trial started February 22nd, 2007. Getting the trial, the juror came forward and said one of the jurors was talking about my tattoo on my face because I got a teardrop on my face. And my teardrops represent my father getting murdered and my grandmom dying. So one of the jurors took that as he got a tattoo on his face, blah, blah, blah. He might have did something before the war. Oh, one of the jurors told another juror about that to the judge. So the one that brought it up, she said, I'm talking about his tattoo because I mean certain things.
A teardrop tattoo can mean personal hardship, like a lost loved one, or that one has committed an act of violence or murder. So now everyone in the jury was thinking about the potential meaning of Lance's teardrop as trial began, where the state presented Jacob Eller, who testified consistently with his November 2005 statement, while the state was ready with his video statement in case he welched. And when he was cross-examined about his deal, he said that he was seeking justice for his friend while also trying to secure release. The prosecution also reminded trial counsel at sidebar to back off or they'd play his video statement from the day prior. Then the Akim testified.
The Akim was saying he was in the park smoking, drinking, and he didn't see the guy get shot. He just seen a spark. He seen two guys all black on run from the crime scene. He way in the back of the park, so they run towards him and keep running towards him until he seen their faces.
The Akim identified both Lance and Zaire, and on cross, trial counsel was able to raise that Kim was on probation for a sex crime, facing another charge, and that he already entered a plea agreement with the prosecution in April 2006. But Kim claimed that his testimony had nothing to do with the deal he got. In addition, he said that he remembered Zaire from middle school.
I'm like, hold up. How'd he go to school? I'm 7 years older than him. So they coerced him and say, oh, nah, he meant to say he seen him around the school. I'm like, come on now.
And Carol Laughlin's testimony had problems as well.
Her statement about how the dude died don't even match up with the best forensic evidence of the case. She talking about she seen a guy get shot while he was standing up. The forensic evidence said the dude got shot while he was on the ground, laying on the ground. And then you got Lillian Davis, Leslie standing right next to Carol Laughlin. Lillian Davis said she couldn't see nobody's face. Carol standing right next to her, saying the guy ran up to her and she seen the guy. I'm like, what? Lillian Davis didn't say that. So why y'all stories not adding up? She giving a totally different count. So I'm like, come on now. And they still let this lady testify and lie on me.
But Lance still had his alibi witnesses, his girlfriend and mother.
And then my lawyer never called her in there. So they tell you, they got a thing to tell you, said, the witness cannot be in trial. Had my mother sit outside of trial the whole time. And I'm like, why would you do that? Why you didn't call my mother on my behalf?
Unfortunately, loved ones are often easy to impeach as willing to lie. But now, neither of the women he loved could support him through what happened next.
Going to the end of trial, and the jury sent a note to the judge, Judge Natel. And one note was like, we want to read all the witnesses' testimony back over again. And he basically told them they couldn't do that because they don't have a video of the witness testimony yet. And he told them it's going to take longer to read it over than it was before. So I'm like, why would he say that? Why would he tell them something's going to take longer? The jury don't want to be there that long anyway. They don't want to hear that word longer, period. So he could go back in there. After that, it was like guilty on all charges. You feel like you're getting the air knocked out of you. Like, this is going to be my life for the rest of my life.
Hey there, this is Josh from Stuff You Should Know with a message that could change your life. The Stuff You Should Know Think Spring podcast playlist is available now. Whether spring has sprung in your neck of the woods yet or not, the Stuff You Should Know Think Spring playlist will make you want to get your overalls on, get outside, and get your hands in the dirt. You can get the Stuff You Should Know Think Spring playlist on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go!
iHeartRadio Music Awards are coming back Thursday, March 26th, live on Fox.
Watch as we honor the biggest stars from all genres of music that you loved listening to all year long on your favorite iHeartRadio station and the iHeartRadio app.
Hosted by Ludacris.
Icon Award recipient John Mellencamp. Innovator Award recipient
Miley Cyrus.
With performances by Alex Warren, Kehlani,
Lainey Wilson,
Ludacris,
Ray,
TLC,
Salt-N-Pepa,
and En Vogue. Taylor Swift makes her first award show appearance this year. Also, gold medal Olympian Alyssa Liu, Neo, Nicole Scherzinger, Nikki Glaser, Somber, Weezer, and more.
Watch live on Fox Thursday, March 26th at 8, 7 Central.
And listen on iHeartRadio stations across America and the free iHeart app.
They sent me to New Jersey State Prison, you know what I mean, the maximum prison in Jersey. So get here, you get quarantined for a week. Then they sent me to another unit called Fort Wright. Man, this Fort Wright unit is like an old horse stable. I don't know if you know anything about this prison right here. The West Compound, this prison, was when they first built this thing in 200 years ago, 250 years ago. This thing is old, man. It's crazy. And I'm like, whoa, you got me standing in a horse stable. It's crazy. Like, it's like, I was like messed up in the head when I seen this stuff. It's still old in here, you know what I mean? You gotta actually go to the bathroom in a metal box in the wall. You know what I mean? It's crazy. Yeah, it's just terrible in here, man. They've been supposed to condemn this spot right here where I'm at. But yeah, it's spooky in here, man. It's crazy. I have to laugh, but I laugh to keep myself from crying, man. It's serious.
It is serious. They've got these men staying in what looks like a horse stable in a structure that was built during the era of slavery, which really has never ended since, according to the 13th Amendment, both he and Zaire could now be put to work next to everyone else in prison for free. So in their effort to escape enslavement on appeal, they pointed out that Kim had entered into another plea agreement with the prosecution just 4 days after their trial, which certainly called his credibility into question.
They had us on the pill at the same time. He only had Kim lying on him. I had two people lying on me then, you know what I mean? They gave him a new trial, denied my appeal. And then when he got the new trial, he went back to court and he was telling me, like, they're not playing fair, they're not trying to hear our side of the story. They still think we are guilty of the stuff. So he, like, they fooled us once. So he said, I'm not going back to trial, I'm taking a deal. He went back and took a deal. Again, I think 15 years.
Which is still so wrong, but at least not as harsh as the life sentence Lance still had to fight.
That's what they tell you when you first come down. You gotta fight for your life, man. You gotta hit that law library and get the knowledge and understanding of your case and kind of know the law. That's what I did.
Lance filed a post-conviction relief motion based on ineffective assistance of counsel, raising how trial counsel failed to elicit from Jacob Eller that he told the prosecutor that he'd lied in his original statement, as well as that trial counsel knew about Via Kim's post-trial plea deal, but failed to confront him with it. Additionally, that trial counsel failed to present his alibi or alternate suspects. Apparently, there were witnesses who named two other individuals that went by Ghostface and Romulus. But since the evidence to support these claims were not properly developed or presented in the post-conviction motion, it was denied in 2011.
Getting so denied so much, and after a while, you come numb to it. When you get, by the time you get to the feds and the Hague, you come numb to it. Like, this is going to be my life. But I had a feeling, I was like, man, I just have to keep going, keep fighting. Like, I can't lay down. So I had to get affidavits and prove to them that I had people that come to court on my behalf. So I had to get the affidavits and submit that in court and show them, like, this is what I had. I gave it to the lawyer. He never submitted it. You know, I mean, he never investigated my alibi. So they sent it back on a partial remand on that in 2020. It's like an evidentiary hearing. and prove to them that I told my attorney about my alibi. So that's what they sent it back on. I got that open right now, waiting on that. And at the same time, that's when I heard about what Justin did with Teron Hill.
Attorney and friend of the show, Justin Bonus, won relief for another innocent man out of Camden, Teron Hill. And from his case, he discovered a whole host of others that involved Martin Devlin, single photo identifications, and incentivized or coerced false testimony.
Teron told him about me and other guys in there. And that's how we ran into Justin. And Justin, I'm like, man, God been answering my prayers because I need help.
Justin Bonus, Lance's attorney, hired a private investigator named Bill Trump, who was able to track down both Carol Laughlin and Thea Kim, who both admitted that the police essentially told them what to say and they repeated the police's instructions.
Thea Kim said, I've never seen Lance in my life.
This has happened in 2023 when Thea Kim recanted his statement and saying how he was coerced by all the investigators because he was on probation. He's a sex offender. They said, if you didn't say what we want to say, we want to violate your probation.
I believe the police said something to the effect of, look, we can make this all go away if you say that you know this guy. And so that's what he did.
Carol Laughlin basically said the same thing Kim said because she didn't really want to talk, but she basically said to the investigator, she did what they told her to do, you know what I mean?
We already know Carol Laughlin was unreliable, as she was inconsistent over three interviews and trial testimony. Her narrative conflicted with both the forensic evidence as well as Lillian Davis, who was allegedly standing right next to her during the crime. In addition, she only decided to name Lance in exchange for leniency in her own charges. In addition to Thea Kim and Carol Laughlin, the private investigator spoke with new witnesses, Wanda Lane and Keith Pennington.
The investigator, William Trump, he went and got a statement for me. The witness saying that he was here at the time the crime happened. He knew I wasn't there.
Unfortunately, Jacob Eller could not be located, but we know that the prosecution was motivated to create a video on the day before trial with Eller saying that he didn't want to testify out of fear of reprisal, which came in handy to make trial counsel back off in cross-examination and would have been useful if Eller chose to recant on the witness stand. So while this has all been added to an amended petition, Lance sought clemency from the governor.
Yeah, so we've actually had some pretty good news. His sentence was commuted by Governor Murphy of New Jersey, which we think is a huge deal. There were thousands of clemency applications, and he only granted a couple hundred. I think he'll be eligible for parole beginning in 2030.
As part of his commutation, he's also being moved to a lower security facility.
Obviously, this is not a total exoneration, which is what we would desire for him. But given that the alternative is a life in prison, we're really excited that the end is in sight for him and his family.
You know, when you sit across from Lance and Lance's mom and Lance's brother, and at the documentary screening, we were sat in the row just in front of his niece. And when you see how this wrongful incarceration is so brutal on the family, that like this is an experience that will never leave me and that will always, always inform how I go about my business with integrity, compassion. Right now, I'm a paralegal in a prosecutor's office, and I'm considering it, you know, longer term. The worst thing that you can do as a prosecutor, hands down, is what these people have done to Lance.
Julia, you know, how has your idea of the criminal legal system changed from, you know, doing this course in Lance's case?
It's such a cliche, but it's cliche because it's true. I really think it's just laid bare for me how broken the criminal legal system is and how it's stacked against poor people, Black people, people who don't have resources. And for me, I would say I'm considering a path in public defense. And I think just like one of the most important kind of moral imperatives I see is the right to an effective assistance of counsel. And Lance was not given that. And so many people are simply not given that. And this case really just elucidated for me how much is broken in our system and how really what so many people need are just advocates and people to not only tell their stories, but also people to listen to their stories. I think that's something that's so special about making an exoneree. There's been a really high success rate of people who have been able to walk out of prison in the years following their participation in this program. For every person who's been able to walk out of prison, there are still plenty of program participants who remain incarcerated to this day. But I think while it's not a solution, but just having a room full of 100 people watch your documentary and hear your story and have your story told in your words on your own terms, I think for a lot of the participants in this program, that's just a really special experience and a transformative one.
What made you guys want to choose making an exoneree as something you were going to pursue?
I first learned about making an exoneree from a friend who took the class at Georgetown a year or two before and had just like rave reviews about it. And she actually went on to work for the program in the years after she graduated. And so when it finally came to Princeton, she said to me, look, Nelson, you have to do this. The two lawyers who are teaching the class, who are Chelsea Amelkin and Yosha Gunasekera, they're incredible. They are really kind people who are going to like really ignite a passion in you for defense work, which they did. I mean, they were amazing. And just having the experience of working with a wrongfully convicted person, their family, going to the prison, these are all experiences that are incredibly transformative. You know, there's a lot of people who, you know, in college are rightly really passionate about, you know, criminal defense, but there's probably pretty few actually who go to a prison to speak with incarcerated people there. And so to be able to have really tangible experiences like that is invaluable as we sort of take these sort of first steps in our very nascent careers.
Yeah, I think for both of us, we took this course our senior spring. So it was one of the final courses that we took during undergrad. And I think for me, I just was looking for something that could make me feel like I was leaving college and going out into the world and actually doing something important that wasn't just reading and discussing in a classroom, but that I could actually have an experience where I could help someone. And it was a lot of work. Both of us were writing our theses while we were also going to Philly and Camden every weekend to see Lance and to conduct interviews and visit the crime scene. And so it was definitely quite the chaotic spring, but also so, so rewarding in the end.
We definitely hope to see great things from both of you in the future. We'll also link to the documentary that you both made about this case in the episode description, along with contact information for his attorney, Justin Bonus. While the commutation to an earlier parole eligibility is progress, Lance should not be spending another minute in prison, let alone another 5 or 10 years. So we are begging. If anyone out there has information, please come forward.
Yeah, that'll be a blessing. I get more information. Like somebody came forth like a month ago. The dude that supposed to did the crime locked up for confessed to him that he did the crime. The investigator, William Trump, talked to him also. He told him everything. Like, yo, I was locked up with this guy, boom, 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 in the feds. And he told me everything that he did about this crime. He got two innocent guys locked up. And that was a blessing. I got that statement opening.
You have 1 minute remaining.
So it's a blessing. I'm just glad that you guys are doing this to bring more light to the situation that I'm in, you know what I mean? Exposed and stuff that was done in the dark, you know what I mean, to my situation. So I'm glad that you guys are bringing the light to the situation, you know what I mean? So I'm thankful for working with you, you know what I mean? And anybody else that willing to work to help bring the truth out. So I thank you.
Thank you for listening to Wrongful Conviction with Maggie Freeling. I'd like to thank our production team, Connor Hall and Kathleen Fink, as well as executive producers Jason Flom, Jeff Kempler, Kevin Wordis, and Jeff Clyburn. The music in this production was supplied by 3-time Oscar-nominated composer Jay Ralph. Be sure to follow us across all social media platforms at Lava for Good and at Wrongful Conviction. You can also follow me on all platforms at Maggie Freeling. Wrongful Conviction with Maggie Freeling is a production of Lava for Good podcast in association with Signal Company No. 1.
We have worked hard to ensure that all facts reported in this show are accurate. The views and opinions expressed by the individuals featured in this show are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of Lava for Good.
Hey there, this is Josh from Stuff You Should Know, with a message that could change your life. The Stuff You Should Know Think Spring podcast playlist is available now. Whether spring has sprung in your neck of the woods yet or not, the Stuff You Should Know Think Spring playlist will make you want to get your overalls on, get outside, and get your hands in the dirt. You can get the Stuff You Should Know Think Spring playlist on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go!
Our iHeartRadio Music Awards are coming back Thursday, March 26th, live on Fox.
Watch as we honor the biggest stars from all genres of music that you loved listening to all year long on your favorite iHeartRadio station and the iHeartRadio app.
Hosted by Ludacris.
Icon Award recipient John Mellencamp. Innovator Award recipient
Miley Cyrus.
With performances by Alex Warren, Kehlani,
Lainey Wilson,
Ludacris,
Ray,
TLC,
Salt-N-Pepa,
and Invoke. Taylor Swift makes her first award show appearance this year. Also, gold medal Olympian Alyssa Liu, Neo, Nicole Scherzinger, Nikki Glaser, Somber, Weezer, and more.
Watch live on Fox Thursday, March 26th at 8, 7 Central.
And listen on iHeartRadio stations across America and the free iHeart.